Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Last night, guys, I got home, and my son and I are kind of getting ready for the next day and just getting some things out, and we're sitting in the living room, and I think we're trying to catch up on just some news or sports, whatever was kind of clicking through as we're getting ready. And CNN was broadcasting this program, and it just kind of stopped us dead in our tracks from what we were doing. And I guess they were re-airing a documentary that was called Homeless, Motel Kids of Orange County, New Jersey. I got to tell you that this thing was absolutely gripping. We stayed frozen from most of what we watched. We didn't watch the whole thing, kind of just caught it in the middle.
Yeah.
But what we did see was absolutely amazing. Amazing that it would what we saw was happening in this country. Homeless children living with their parents in motels.
Mm.
In motels in Orange County, California, which is one of the wealthiest counties in the entire country, which probably means one of the most wealthiest places in the world,
mm-hmm.
since America's in the top 5% of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to listen to this little promo, and you're going to be hearing just children speak throughout this promo for the documentary, Homeless, Motel Kids of Orange County. I want you to listen up.
What is home to you?
Home? I don't really know what that means.
Once you're here in the motel, it's so hard to get out. You know, you're paying weekly, and with the economy, it's difficult. What's it like living at the motel?
It's like you're in hell.
If you could have one wish come true, what would it be?
Redo my life.
The economy's going down. We're not feeling it because we're already there.
We have to be together no matter what. We have to live in the same room with no walls besides the four walls that we all share.
God can only give you the things you really need.
So what do you hope for this summer?
I hope for a house.
Motel Kids of Orange County. It's a new documentary. I think fairly new. They were playing it on CNN segments. And you hear these kids from the motel saying, what do you want? I just want a home.
Wow.
I just want a home. And this lady half chuckles and says, and I mean, you go through so much pain, sometimes you got to laugh so that you don't have to cry.
All right.
And she says, you know, the economy is going down. She says, we are already there. We don't have too much far to go.
Right.
And you may have complained in the last couple of weeks or months or years or maybe all your life of how the economy has affected your bottom line, and people are saying that now they can't go on their two vacations, they can only go to their one vacation, or you know, they're not going to be able to go out to eat as many times as they'd like to now because of the economy, and they got to cut back, you know, on their Starbucks because the Starbucks now is a little bit too much or whatever it may be. But I'm sitting with my oldest son, and we're just sitting, and just he's looking at me and I'm looking at him, and we had this quiet moment. The rest of the family, I don't know where they were, but we're in the back watching, and
mm-hmm.
I'm listening and I'm watching this young boy crawl and do dumpster dives. He mm-hmm. couldn't have been no more than 5 years old, and he was doing a dumpster dive because every week in that motel somebody's evicted, and when they get evicted, the owners of the motel take all of their belongings and throw it in the dumpster. And the little boy is happy to dumpster dive because there is where he finds his new toys. Mm. And he jumps out and holds a little matchbox car and says, yes, got one. Yes.
Wow.
Can I tell you that I look at that and I'm just watching and just listening. You know, we are so blessed in America. There's another family, a mother and her four children, and they talk about how they live in the motel. She's you know, oftentimes there's a misconception for people. They think that homeless people either don't want to work, they think that they're on drugs, they think that they're lazy. And obviously, in their mind, that's why you're homeless. Mm-hmm. And this woman actually worked, and she worked at Disneyland. She worked at Disneyland. Her life wasn't like Disneyland, but she worked at Disneyland, and she worked full-time, and yet her full-time work was not enough to be able to support her family in her own home. And she says that she has to get another job because she has to prove income verification when she goes to get an apartment that shows that she has the resources enough to support the rent on that apartment. Mm-hmm. So you have five people living in one room, and the person doing the documentary asked the little boy, so where do you put your clothes? Where do you put your clothes? And he says, oh, come here, let me show you my closet. And he takes her to the bathroom, the motel bathroom. In the motel bathroom, there's this kind of makeshift shelf, and his shelf is where his few pieces of clothing are shoved in this little area, and that's his closet. Mm. And you're just looking at this and saying, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And they interview this one little boy, and they ask him, so do you like this place? He says, no. He's maybe about 3 or 4, I'm guessing. He says, no. He says, the cops, they come here all the time. I don't like when they come here. And the interviewer asks, well, why do they come here? And he says, oh, they arrest people all the time here. So she says, well, why do they arrest people? Well, a lot of people are hitting on moms here, and they're drinking a lot. And so the police cuff them.
Wow.
And you look at what they see every single day.
Yeah.
And you think about how many people in the United States are living like that. How many people are living under those type of conditions, and they don't have anything.
Well, you remember during the father-son camping trip, we had a few situations, you know, where mothers would bring their children to the, you know, the camping trip that were in that type of predicament, living in a hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, we went to go pick up a young boy in a hotel, and we were able to hook him up for that weekend with a mentor. And, you know, you're just so filled with, we should be so filled with gratitude and a heart of compassion. When we see that type of stuff happening, you know, in our country, it should make us say, wait a minute, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing that we can be okay with people, but children no less, living in those type of conditions? Mm-hmm. One woman describes the children sleeping on one bed. They're like sardines, she says. They sleep like sardines on that bed, and I sleep on this bed. Mm-hmm. And you have four kids that are laid sideways with their feet hanging on the other side across the bed. And let me tell you something. There's been great pride in our country where we have people that look down on folks that are less fortunate. They look down on people that don't have expensive shoes and clothing. I mean, what has happened where that trickles down to our young people, and they have to feel this intense pressure to have these $85 pairs of shoes? I'm sorry. If you're 13 years old and you don't have a job, why you have to wear $85 pairs of shoes? $100 pair, $150 pairs of shoes. What are you doing in your life that requires, that's necessary for you to have $100 pairs of shoes and you don't have a job?
Mm-hmm.
And we have, you know, a society that we're raising now that's becoming so, feel like they're entitled to everything. They're entitled to the $150 pairs of shoes. They're entitled to an iPod. They're entitled to an iPad, to a cell phone, to nice clothes, to a nice car. And they feel embarrassed. It's like, no, what's embarrassing is your attitude, you know?
Yeah.
And it's in TV. It's in the culture. And what we need to do is really get a God perspective on what's happening when there's people that, you know, are not eating, when there's children. In the same thing, they were feeding, they had little puppies, and they were feeding themselves and the puppies popcorn. That's what they were eating, popcorn that day. You know, and it just convicted me, you know, when you're eating something at home, or you're going out to the restaurant and you say, I just can't eat this. It doesn't taste good, or it's disgusting. Mm. When there's someone else that would love to eat that portion of food that we say that we don't like, or is disgusting, or has too much this or too much of that. It just goes to realize to say, you know, your parents used to say, oh, there's someone in China that's hungry, or there's, you know, someone that's starving somewhere in Africa. Listen, there's people starving right probably around the block from your house down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't continue to drive by through our neighborhoods. We can't continue to drive through our cities and our communities and look at homeless or look at the poor and resent them, resent the fact that they are detracting from our community, that they don't look good, that they smell, if that. Well, they don't have a house. They can't take a shower. They don't have soap. And God's watching. That's the thing. You know, God is watching how we take care of the least of those around us.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever we do, we should do it in secret. And the Bible speaks about if we, you know, tell about the things that we're doing, you know, for the, mm-hmm. if the right hand knows what the left hand is doing, we kind of lose our reward there.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm going to release any reward, if I have any reward coming. I prayed about this morning, coming to me just by sharing you something that happened this weekend. And I do that so that, you know what, I'm willing to whatever, you know, I didn't do it for that, but so that others can be encouraged and they can do the same.
Mm-hmm.
But this weekend I had a gentleman that just came up to the driveway as I was leaving, and he says, hey, can I cut your grass? You know, I'm homeless. And I was really busy. I had an appointment that I had to get to that I was actually running a little bit behind. And he, listen, I was a welder. I'm unemployed. I'm homeless. And I'll do a good job. Can I cut your grass for you? My grass didn't need any cutting. I needed some other things, but definitely not cutting. And then he says, well, can I rake your leaves? You know, just I'm thinking here. What I'm thinking in my mind is I'll just give him some money and, you know, just let him go on his way because I don't have anything for him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to give him some money. And I says, listen, I'm real busy. Don't worry about it. Here you go, man. Let me help you out. And he says, no. He says, I want to work for this. I want to work for this. And I knew that, and if I insisted, I would have insulted him. And he just didn't have money. And he mm-hmm. was willing to get out there. And it was hot.
Yeah.
The middle of the afternoon was very hot. And he was willing to earn it. And I said, well, listen, I don't have the rake right now. You know, it's back there somewhere. And to be honest with you, I'm like running so late. Let me give you this, and you can come back like whenever, you know, to come do it. And he says, no, you give me a time. You give me a time, and I'll be back. So I go, okay, I'll be here tomorrow at 9 a.m. He says, yes, sir, I'll be here tomorrow at 9 a.m. So I go run off, do what I have to do. The next morning, my wife comes to get me. She says, there's someone knocking on the front door, and it's early. I go to the front door, and it's this man that told me he'll be back in the next morning. I'm thinking, wow, Lord, this is, you know, pretty amazing. So still can't find the shovel, the rake. So I get the blower, you know what I'm saying? Like, here you go, man, here's a blower. And he says, thank you, sir. And we gave him a little something to eat there. And he was so grateful. He was so grateful. And the Lord started speaking to me because I was very busy. I had things that I had to do. And I realized that, wait a minute. I need to really slow down and watch my approach in this whole situation because this man matters. I wasn't treating the man bad or anything, but I really, God wanted me to experience something here and to really empathize. You know, maybe you're not treating anyone bad, but maybe your solution is just throw some money quick at them and here you go and just go. Or maybe you're too busy and God wants you to experience this. God wants you to be involved in the process. He wants you to sympathize and empathize and have compassion over someone who's saying, listen, I need to work so I can have something to eat. And so I begin to sit down on the front steps with him and start talking. And he tells me that him and his 60-year-old father are living in the woods.
Oh, wow.
In the United States, living in the woods. Because they didn't have the resources to live in the home that they were renting any longer. And his father is 60, not 65, so he doesn't get any you know, retirement or, you know, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you start listening to this stuff, and you start realizing, wow, how blessed are you? I mean, have you thought about that question? How blessed are you? But when you think about your home, and you think about the cars, and you think about your job, and you think about what you ate last night, and you think about what you put on your body to wear, when you think about what your kids are wearing and what they ate and the activities that you have them in and the things you bought them for Christmas and their birthdays and the vacations, when you think about all this stuff that we have in America, the TVs, the PlayStations, the iPads, the iPhones, when we think about our pets and what they eat, I mean, my dog food's expensive. The good dog food, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, my goodness. are animals. Did you know that the pet industry is a $1 billion industry? The pet industry. And some people take care of their animals better than they would take care of a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you that God is watching all of this. God is seeing what is happening. And friend, let me tell you, anything can happen in your life. Most people don't realize that they can suffer from a critical illness. They can suffer from some sort of an illness or setback in their family. And most people don't realize that it doesn't take much to lose it all. And if you're blessed to have a home, they say, well, we'll just get a second mortgage. You'll after you've asked for, borrowed from your friends and family, after you've taken the second mortgage on your home, after you've maxed the credit cards, if you have credit cards and you've done all this stuff, they take the second mortgage out in their home, and then they don't have the resources to pay it back, and they lose it all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And people that once had everything could instantly have nothing. Listen, it's not a big thing to imagine. It was gripping.
Mm-hmm.
It was gripping. It was sad. One kid was asked about, how do you like the food in the soup kitchen? And he says, it's not really good, but at least it's something to eat. And it just gets us to really think about, my goodness, you know, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, what's going on? What's going on in our country? What's going on around the block from our homes, down the street, in our communities? Have we driven past motels and hotels? Have we driven past people and maybe have judged them for their condition? And we haven't seen any bit of humanity in any of this? We haven't seen God in any of this, or how we can fulfill a need. And one of the I guess the producer, or the person who made the video, was interviewed, and she was asked, you know, basically, you know, what were the conditions of these places. She went to multiple motels in Orange County, and I think it was done on purpose, particularly in Orange County, because Orange County represents probably the one or two highest counties in all of America, Orange County, California, in terms of wealth. And she went to multiple motels and found that these kids were living in these horrible conditions with just bugs in their beds, and just infested with just drug dealers all over the place. Mm-hmm. And you can only imagine. And she says, you can find this what's going on here in probably any zip code. I mean, in fact, think about it. If this is happening in the most wealthiest zip code in America, best believe that if you don't live in Orange County, it's probably happening in your community as well.
Mm-hmm.
And how we respond. I'm talking to the church right now. This is what VFN Radio is for, right? Mm-hmm. Those who are believers and those who are being drawn to God. Listen, we can't close our eyes to the poor. We can't close our eyes to those who are hungry. We can't close our eyes to those who are homeless. Jesus said, whatever you have done to the least of these brothers of mine, you have indeed done to me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, it goes both ways. If you haven't done it to them, then it means you haven't done it to Jesus as well.
Yeah.
And we need a baptism of compassion. We need a baptism of compassion. We need to see the true state of what is happening to those that are suffering and those that are less fortunate. Because, like, as I said before the break, you know, it's not easy. I mean, it's easy. It's not hard to fall from any place that you're presently at today. And if you're taking credit for the luxuries that you're experiencing as a you know, an American in this country, I would caution you, because the Bible speaks very clearly that we have not received anything that we have received. All comes from God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Everything. What thing can you point to that you actually got on your own? What is it in your home that you're driving, you know, that you were actually able to get all by yourself? Because let me tell you, if you point to the fact of your intelligence or your skill sets or your knowledge, the very knowledge that you have was all given to you by God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything. Everything. And so, which causes us to live a more humble life. It causes us to appreciate what we have, not to dog out what we have, but to celebrate and say, this is what the Lord's blessed me with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a popular thing, you hear people say, oh, that old thing or that ragged out thing is, or, you know, they're trying to downplay it instead of saying, hey, You know, what do you drive? The car that the Lord blessed me with. That's what I drive. You know, where do you already live? The home that the Lord blessed us with. That's where we live.
Right.
You know, because anything else, you're taking credit. But we got to have a heart of compassion. I look at in Mark chapter 1, verse 40, there's an account of a man who was ill. And it says that a man with leprosy, this was a horrible skin condition. You can imagine the lesions on the person's skin. This is a flesh-eating disease. People, you know, who still even have leprosy in different parts of the world. I believe in India there's colonies of people that have leprosy. Their nose is eaten off. The pieces of their skin, and it's highly contagious. You don't want to touch it because it can jump on your skin. But a man with leprosy came to him, speaking about Jesus, and begged him on his knees. He begged him, and then he lowered himself, and he got on his knees to position himself lower, and he asked Jesus a question: if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then verse 41, Jesus says, well, it says about the Lord, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. I mean, the man lowered himself, he humbled himself, he got on his knees and begged. And he asked the Lord, listen, if you're willing, I know that you can make me clean. And the key component there is that Jesus was filled with compassion. Unless we are filled with compassion, unless we're filled with the heart of God, we're not going to be able to respond. Jesus reaches out his hand from where he's at and touches the man and blesses the man and gives the man what he needs. But he was filled with compassion.
Yeah, that's important.
It's important. Compassion is responding to a need. This is how it's defined. Deep awareness of the suffering of another. Deep awareness. Coupled with the wish to relieve it. When we have compassion for someone, we're not saying, oh, poor thing. By the way, can I get this, and that? And you just keep going. Compassion means that we are taking the time to move in empathy. We're experiencing their pain with them. We are going through the concept and the ideas of our mind. We're getting, first of all, getting our eyes off of ourselves. And we're wondering, what would that be like to be homeless? What would that be like to be standing out for 10 hours with the sign? What happened in your life that caused you to be at this point? And maybe they've dropped the ball. Maybe someone else dropped the ball in their life. But, you know, I'm amazed at how quick people are quick to say, well, it's them. You know, if they would have made wiser decisions. And all. Listen, who of us have made all the wise decisions? I know I haven't. Who of us have not made decisions in our life that caused us to suffer some amazing consequences? You just happen to be blessed enough that you didn't make those decisions that caused you to go that low. But maybe you've made other decisions.
Right.
And for the church, if we're not exercising and moving in compassion, what are we doing? And the question we're going to ask ourselves is, where is the tenderness? Where's the softness? Where is the sympathy for those who are suffering? I mean, how can we complain about anything? And right now, America is living, and the church, to be honest, is living self-focused, self-centered lives. And you realize that pride is literally the enemy of compassion, because pride has to do with everything about self. We've got to get our eyes off of ourselves and onto the people, onto what is happening. Instead, many have turned to judging. It's like, listen, we can't judge. It's like, we need to stop that. You know, Mother Teresa, she's quoted as saying, when she saw the kids that are hungry in Calcutta, India, she's quoted as saying, I see the face of God when I look at them.
Wow.
I see the face of God. What do you look at? She sees the face of God. She's also said that if we spend all of our time judging people, we won't have any time to love them. Listen, God has called us to be people of the light, people that love, people that walk the way that Jesus wants us to walk in humility and tenderness and brokenness. And Proverbs 19:17 says that he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. And on top of that, the word says that God will reward us for that. Lord, we don't need any reward. Just the fact that by being kind to the poor, we can lend to God.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, that could be my poor. It's our portion forever, right? That's
right.
Alone.
Yeah.
But on top of that, the word of God says that he'll reward us. Listen, the times are coming. Tough times have come. We've been telling you this on VFN Radio. And you want to be one right now that walks tenderly, softly, with compassion and love towards those who are less fortunate, because you don't know, friend, what lies around the corner for you or for your family member. And remember that whatever we've done to the least of these brothers of mine, Jesus says, whatever you've done unto me. We can be loving on Jesus when we take care of those who are less fortunate. If you're looking for a ministry, you're looking for a way to serve, you don't know how you've been praying, that's a good place to start. That's a good place to start. What would happen if the church started moving in compassion, put the gavels down, and we start empathizing with the sufferings, with the illnesses, with the loss of homes and employment and no lack of food? Mm. If we start loving on people and encouraging them, and I'm not saying I personally know of some that are doing that. I'm talking about at large. We have to ask, where has the compassion gone?
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, would you baptize us? Would you baptize us with compassion and your heart for the hurting people of this world, in our communities, and even in our very own neighborhoods? As I mentioned earlier in the first hour, my son and I just happened to catch it on CNN. It was playing, you know, mid-segment, I guess, and we just caught it. And it was about, the documentary is called Homeless, the Motel Kids of Orange County, which is, if not the richest county in America, it's definitely second, which means that probably the most wealthiest place in the whole entire world. And in the most wealthiest place in the entire world, we have children that live in motels because parents cannot afford to rent an apartment.
Yeah.
So they live in a motel room that covers all the utilities and, you know, a place for them to live. And the children play in the parking lot. They play in the dumpsters. They play wherever they can, running up and down stairs in unsafe conditions. And we're talking about how we needed compassion. You know, I was sitting with my oldest boy, and we're looking at each other. It was like, teaching moment for you, teaching mm-hmm. moment for me. We got to talk about this. And our poor kids, if you're around us for quite a while, they're going to get a lesson, you know. But because, you know, we need all these teaching moments in our lives, you know. Be a person that's a continual learner. If you feel like you've learned everything already, that's a dangerous place. I'm still learning, and anybody can teach me. And, you know, you want to learn all the time. So we are having this teaching moment, both of us, as we're talking and discussing it. And I was just talking to him in particular about how blessed he is, you know, and how blessed we are. We have a home, you know, we live in America, we have food to eat. And I think it's so important that we take time to teach that to our children. Many of our grandparents grew up knowing and understanding that life was difficult, life mm-hmm. was hard, that nothing in this world was free, and that it required people to work for it. And so they didn't waste food. They didn't buy frivolous things. They knew that they needed to save, because if they didn't save, they wouldn't have anything for a rainy day. And how many people mm-hmm. don't even save today? They don't put a little bit aside of their income, just a little. How much of the church right now is not even tithing? With only 3% of the church, according to George Barna, is actually tithing, that's a problem. Because mm-hmm. the Word of God says in Malachi, you're under a curse.
Yeah, yeah.
You're under a curse if you're not even giving and honoring God with what is God's. But if you talk about an older generation, they honored the Lord. They put a little bit aside. They worked hard. They understood the value of a dollar. They didn't throw things away. They said, well, we're going to save that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're good. We're good. People call that cheap. Some people just call it frugal and being smart.
Efficient.
Being efficient.
Yeah.
Being efficient. And we need to get back to those days. But not only that, another thing that they did is that they actually took care of their neighbors.
And the others around them.
Yeah, they took care of their neighbors. They took care of their friends and family. They took care of the person across the street. And if they didn't have, they fed them. Listen, we may have, with what's coming, you're going to learn how to take care of each other. You're going to have to take care of each other because tough times are coming unless the church repents. But tough times are coming. And we need to learn gratitude on this side. Because let me tell you, if you don't have gratitude on this side of the equation, on the blessed side, you will have gratitude.
Yeah.
You will have appreciation. You will learn the word grateful. And we talked about this last week on the radio, but, you know, I don't like that phrase. You don't know what you have until you lose it. My question is why? You know, why do we have to lose it before we can appreciate it? Why can't we just take a time to pause and appreciate the relationships we have, appreciate the vehicles, the home, the stuff, whatever it is, learn to appreciate what you do have because there's going to come a day that you may not have
anything.
What you have, anything.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and again, it's like what you're saying before. It's just like, you know, pride goes before the fall, thinking the fact that you're always going to have what you have. And it's just at any point, there can be that moment when, you know, what you thought you were entitled to, you no longer have. Mm-hmm. And it's just very, very easily that it can change.
It can happen.
Mm-hmm.
It can happen. And one of the things that we can do that if you know someone who is, you know, poor or homeless or even just going through a tough time. I mean, it's the cost of food today. My goodness. I don't do the shopping in my home, but, you know.
I see the receipts.
Hello. And I'm like, what? What does it cost to feed a family today and to eat nutritious and all those type of things? I mean, it costs real dollars and we just can't think about ourselves.
Yeah.
You know?
I think about there's a gentleman I helped out over this weekend, and he was from Moore, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. You know, and in America there was the tornadoes that just devastated a whole community. And as soon as I was helping him out, and as soon as I saw where he was from, I just stopped, and I just looked at him, and I said, you know, do you have family? Are you still living in Moore, Oklahoma? And he says, yeah. And I says, are you okay? How's your family? You know, did you go through any devastation through anything? And he just looked at me with this overwhelming, I have no idea how, but he's like, my house is okay. I asked him, I said, you know, were you close to the area? And he says, yeah, about a quarter of a block away was the devastation.
You think about that, Steve. A lot of people have to go through a tornado. They have to go through a hurricane. They have to go through an earthquake. They have to go through a disaster just to feel and understand
what they have.
What some people in America experience every single day that don't have a thing.
Yeah.
And they say we're living homeless now. I can't even get my coffee and I don't know where my clothes are at and I haven't taken a hot shower in 3 or 4 days. And the homeless guy saying, dude, this is my life. You're homeless? This is how I live every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you're complaining for 3 days? And I'm not making light of because I've been through hurricanes myself. I've been 10 days without electricity more than once, you know? So I understand. And I'm not making light of any disaster or any difficulty.
Yeah.
But what I am saying is that it's the truth.
Yeah.
Some of us don't experience what some people experience every single day as normal in their life. And we only experience it when catastrophe comes, when catastrophe hits, and at that point we get to taste a little bit because it's amazing how all the meals come in at that time for us. It's amazing how all the help comes in, all those funds out of somewhere they come to take care of us. Well, where were those funds all along for those that didn't have anything? Mm-hmm. Where were those funds and the resources at that point? What happened? Where are they? And I want to encourage you to find a local place, maybe amongst your fellowship. Find the local place that's getting help to others with food and clothing and all those different things. Listen, if you're not eating, you're probably not bathing. You're probably not changing your garments. You know, if you have stuff, maybe go ahead and donate it down to the waterfront. Go down and donate it to your local mission or right there amongst your own fellowship. But learn to give stuff away. Learn, you know, a lot of people want to sell stuff. Learn to just give stuff. Mm-hmm. Because I'll tell you, it will all come back to you. But even if it didn't, I mean, before the eyes of God, it just feels so right just to be able to say, here you go, I want to bless you with something. And be humble enough to receive it. Because let me tell you, there's some people that are in those type of conditions right now that are suffering, and they're not eating, or they're living in their cars, and because of pride, they're not getting the help or the resources that they need. Listen, if you're struggling today and you're not making it, you're not eating, your kids are living in a car or whatever, your situation may not be that bad, but you're not letting anyone else know, then because of embarrassment, you're living in pride. That's pride. You know, it's better just to humble ourselves before God and say, it is what it is. Lord, I need your help. I need your grace. And as believers, we can say, you know what? I'm no longer going to close my eyes. I'm no longer going to shut my ears. You know what? I'm no longer going to wish that these people that were hanging around with a sign would just go away and get a job. But Lord, I'm going to pray about my involvement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that I heard someone say last night was that you need to prepare yourself for those things. If there's homeless people in your community, people do without, you know, so that you can be ready, you can intentionally before God prepare yourself and maybe, you know, take a cooler with yourself. When you pack yourself a sandwich, pack two.
Mm-hmm.
Pack two and believe that you know, you're going to run into a person that you can bless with an extra sandwich. If it's hot out there, carry an extra bottled water in the back of your vehicle,
mm-hmm.
in a cooler that you can give away, or maybe you may have a couple of dollars that you could put aside in your console there that when you do come to a red light or you come to a certain area, you can give some money away. I was reminded about a young girl my wife and I met, I think back in January. It was something like 10 o'clock at night, we're running an errand, and she's in the middle of an intersection with pajama pants on, freezing. This is up north, freezing, and collecting money. And so we pulled it over, asked if she was okay, came back, and just got her some stuff and spent some time with her, ministered to her. But it just showed me that anyone can be homeless. And she was maybe all of 19. She had a child. Think about this, had a child that she couldn't even support right now. So a family member took in the child, and those mindsets and those stereotypes that have been drilled in our head that the homeless person is a person that's, you know, either on drugs, just got out of jail, you know, they're lazy or whatever. That's why they're homeless. Those mindsets have to go.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, that I'm sure that there's some homeless people that fall into that category, but not everyone that is homeless falls into that category. And even if they did, who are we to make any kind of judgments, and who are we not to help out our fellow person that is struggling? Listen, they're human beings. We got to love them, and they're beautiful in the eyes of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know I want a greater capacity for compassion in my life, and we just ask God, just, you know, baptize the church
mm-hmm.
with compassion, that we're no longer trying to seek things for ourselves. And you know, the worst thing that could happen is that our wealth will speak against us, will testify against us.
Uh-huh.
When it's all said and done, and God inventories the books and looks at everything, believe me, he will look at everything.
Oh yeah.
I don't want him to balance the sheets and say, wow, did you really need all this, and how much of that went to here and how much of that went to there? Let me tell you something. I don't know what that day is going to be like, but I want to prepare on this side so that on that side, I want to hear the Father's approval. I want to hear the Father's blessing. You may need to reevaluate some things that are going on in your life and your finances today. I want to tell you, honor God with everything that you have. Honor him with your tithe and your offerings, because let me tell you, judgment awaits those that don't honor him. And you don't want to be in that experience. What's going to happen in the days ahead. We can move with compassion today, with the heart of God, with the love of God, as we continue to walk in the ways of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.